We have one quick item yesterday, maybe not quick, but to wrap up. So to really review very quickly, the Gemara in Yoma had seemingly quoted an abbreviated version of our sugya. Our sugya, which said, "Harei zegite chamanashlo tishdiyayin koyamei chayayich," is no good, it's not krisis, whereas koyamei chayay or chayitloni is krisis. And the reason for the latter is because the possibility exists that she would be able to drink wine. Namely, if he dies, predeceases her, or if so-and-so predeceases her. The Gemara in Yoma quoted this, so it's stated that the following scenario was problematic, according to Rava, which was, if a man says, "Harei zegite chamash tamos achas nikem." The Kohen Gadol says to the second wife that he's taken, "This is your get if one of you dies." So aside from the substantive problems and not actually solving the problem in terms of the Yom Kippur problem, but in addition, the Gemara says that's not krisis. Now the Gemara will turn around and say, "Harei zegiteich almanas she lo tamas fun," maybe the other wife. But the problem the Gemara had was that this is not krisis. If he had said almanas she tamos plonis, then that would have been fine. Now that he says almanas she either tamos plonis or you die, the Gemara says it's no good. And the question is why? Just because you added in the additional condition, the possibility still exists that she will be free, namely if her rival wife dies. Yes, if she dies, then that debt will not be a debt. But the question is, why is that not krisis if there's a possibility that the marriage could be terminated if she is alive? So Tosus, none of you showed it except Tosus asked the question, as we say, it's a point that I asked, it's none that I've seen. Tosus in Gittin left as a Tarachim, Tosus in Yoma gives a Tarach. So we'll read it one more time, I'll read it very quickly, and then if anybody has some thoughts on this, on what this means, I would be interested in hearing. So Tosus says, "Ve'im kein parashat ve'lachol ishani dehasam, v'agaf al-gav ge'ilu l'omayel amanash l'tamas chaveritech, ha'vegita, ha'ashtu d'tala t'nai na'mi b'misasa, higa l'mim medikim migragar, t'chol hecha d'ika t'nai d'esha v'mekayim b'misasa, v'yacholu kim at'nai l'aget v'shas misasa, ein zekrisis." There's any time there's a component of the t'nai, of one of the things that allows the get to be a get, which is an invalid t'nai, so that's not krisis. V'hachinami, ma'is ve'i v'risha, ha'rechal kiyum atnai, v'haget v'yachad v'misasa. V'ladami l'heichad alam l'nashat ha'mas chaveritech, t'chi ma'is ve'olu, t'chi ma'is ve'chaverita v'risha, chayo gita v'chaya shazos, v'hi ma'is ve'risha, lo chal gita. So, there are a couple of problems here, which I'm still disagreeing with you, Nissen. Okay. Even though, I don't know why. I mean, I know why I disagree with you, because the language of Tosfos is almanas. But the question is, according to Tosfos, "Ihi maisa bereisha lo chal gita, the get is chal." That's your tiny Nissen. The get is chal. It's chal from the beginning, provided that she has died. And the question is, even in the first case, the chimayis, that when she dies, the chiyamaget and the tanai come to misasa. So let me explain why I say you're not correct. Which is, what Tosis isn't here actually talking about the chalos of the get. The problem that we're talking about here is that for get to be valid, there has to be krisis. The zman of the get may be when he gives the get. But if the possibility of the get finally being good, of that being fulfilled, and it retroactively being so, can only happen after she dies, which means in her lifetime, the impact of that get is zero, even though the chalos is earlier. But the bottom line is, it's not a get that frees her in any way. Or I should say, it's a get that limits her in a certain way. And a get cannot permanently limit a woman. So when Tosfos says at the end, the Abba Mesa Resha, Lo Chal Gita Mafreya, until she's dead. It can never happen during her lifetime. Because it can never happen during her lifetime, it's not Krusis. I don't think it's about the actual Zman Chalosa get. So I don't think he means it's not a Gita. You know, it's not that if you in this situation, if it were Krisos, the get would be could be Chal after she died. The get could be Chal after she died. I don't think Tosfos means, because Tosfos uses the language, the Gemara uses the language Almanas. Almanas is always understood by Asha. I didn't ask you to read the entire parak in the Rambam, but the Rambam, it's a very strange opening Rambam for the parak. The Rambam talks about how if a man gives his wife a get with a condition, so the get is only valid when the condition is fulfilled. And if she dies before the condition is fulfilled, says the Rambam, the get is never chal. Of course, the last line he says, but if she gets married and the condition is fulfilled later, then it's okay. Which is totally bizarre. It makes no sense. The Magen Mishnah asked the question. I don't think he provides an answer. Very difficult, Rambam. But the point is, that's an imtana. The Rambam in the next halacha turns around and says, ah, but if you say Amanas, Amanas, which means Me'afsha, it's a totally different story. So Tosfos, with Gemara here, and Tosfos uses the word Amanas. I don't think he means Lo Chal Gita at all. It means that the knowledge that the get is final, and that there's no way it can be done, can only take place when it's no longer in her lifetime, which means whatever the stipulations were in that get that basically allowed her until after she died, she never had that there, that's not a get. Now that I think, that is addressing your question. I think you have to say that way. I think it's correct contextually. The discussion here is not really about Zman Gittin, but whether something is Krisus or not. Okay, nearly. So I think Ephraim is right in this case. Unless he just turned around and was voted.
I was the last one
to think. Oh, so you should have done that.
Okay.
See, that the only thing worse in terms of bias is a person who's adopted a position, I think a person has already changed their position. Yes.
If it's true that this is about, I'll say this. If the way that this is defining a problem with interpersonal, is that it's possible that they get end up not being in any way a factor. And what's the difference between high pony, where sometimes it won't be effective if she dies before pony, or case of alternate?
If he dies before her.
If
it'll be effective if he dies before her.
But since there's if she dies before pony, then that's a situation where it won't be effective.
It won't be effective, it won't happen to have been effective for her.
Right.
Whereas, but he died first, it would be effective for her, and therefore the get is a valid get.
So there's sometimes the get is effective, but there's not effective, that's valid time.
Yes, but when you say the get is effective or not effective, that doesn't mean the get is chal or not. In that case, once it's valid time, the get is chal either way.
Okay.
It's just that one benefited her, and one didn't benefit her. Whereas a get that can, with a tanai that can never benefit her, that's what he means by lo chal gita.
But in the case of Ahaz Megan, sometimes will and sometimes won't. It depends on who dies first. Which it should be just like Haiton, where sometimes it's effective, sometimes it's not.
Nah, so what Tosfos is saying is that there's two separate tanai here. In other words, when I say Almanasha, I want to know, is a tanai of Almanasha Tamus your friend? Is that a valid tanai? Well, let's look at that condition. In other words, let's ask, Tosfos is saying, look at every scenario. It's not how many clauses you use. Look at every scenario, I mean, every condition effective that's been attached. If I say, Amanasha Thomas Achamas Etan, to use computer language, that's an or clause. So this is your debt if you die, or if she dies, or if you die. Now, the clause if she dies, let's look at that clause. That clause allows the possibility, not definite, that she will have heta. The clause that if you die, will not have heta. Now, what most of the Rishonim are saying, Ephraim, is exactly what you were saying. Which, because of the Kasha process, is exactly what you were saying. Is that, you know, the bottom line is there is a possibility. The Teretz of Tosfos is, again, Tosfos' comment is,
The
The Efshar the Nikayim the Misasa the Yaholo Kiyam Agat Agat Shas Misasa in Zekwisis. So Tosis is understanding it as two separate Tanoim. And if you understood it all as one Tanoim, then you're right. Then it doesn't make any sense, because bottom line is, who cares whether there's a 25% chance or versus a 50% chance or whatever it is, right? The same thing. But Tosis says that there's a Tanoim, and it's a separate Tanoim. And because there's a separate Tanai, as to the rest of us would have said, just look at the whole picture. But Tosis insists, says, no. Don't look at the whole picture. Look at each Tanai in its own right. And if there's a Tanai in its own right, if there's a track in the get that would invalidate the get if that were the only track, it invalidates the get even though it's not the only track. That is a way to formulate what Tosis has said. So the question then becomes, what is the smachlokas here? Which is really saying, what is Tosis's answer? We all, I think, understand the question. Sure.
Tosis is not in the conflict between something which is happening with Shasmi instead of something which is Lachami said that it's not going to happen at all. It sounds like you're making a distinction, but that doesn't play into this.
No, I don't think it's during versus after that. I think it means, I think you have to see it at the binaries before is alive and dead.
He should say that it's not
called
in the case of
Manashe Tammuz. When he says first, the Efshar the Mekayim the Yechulo Kiyum HaTanai Vaget B'Shas Nisasa, B'Shas Nisasa is the first moment after life, the first moment of death. So the Kiyum HaTanai Vaget would be, and when I say the kiyum haget, it doesn't mean the chalos of the get, the time of the chalos of the get, but the kiyum haget that this krisis only comes b'shas misasa mikanu l'chavo. Meaning, you know, we talk about before you die and after you die. We often use colloquially, right? What are we not talking about most of the time? It doesn't really matter. While you're dying. But the truth is why you're dying before you die, after you die. Correct. Well, I mean, that's an interesting thank you, very good. That's an interesting philosophical question now, is do we regard there being three stages? There is a halachic stage, but you didn't want to say goses. You want to say, I guess a goses, but a goses is tachai. That is only because he's not capable of doing so physically, no? That's the only reason I thought. But a goses, he's not capable of doing so. It's not a status, he's a chai. If you kill him, you're highly useless. So I'd like to say that death, and there is, you know, in the Avelis literature, in the Geshe HaChayim, which is, I think, the Book of the Reason, you know, you'll find, I suspect, the literature replete with this sort of passage language. One of the most famous svarim, I think, of Minhagi Avelis is the Mahar Yavuk. Right? It's a passage. But the reality is, I think if you drill down in halacha, it's quantum. You're alive or you're dead. You can be a suffix, which means you're not sure which side of the line you're on. But there's no shimmy. You know, go for it. You get a bonus if you say it. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. You're drawing inspiration from last year. There are three stages.
All right. There's mostly dead. There's
most excellent. Mostly dead. Jane missed it. You missed some of the great Princess Bride line, which is the second half. Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember what it was, but Shimmy had the greatest line maybe ever. So there's no dead, there's no alive, mostly dead and dead in halacha.
There isn't a risk of a
kimla. At the end of the day, short of the Gemara Din, if they gave him, you know, no. I mean, again, death may take a moment. That's for a totally different reason. Death may take a moment. That's the argument of why you can give a malchus and misa, right? Because it's really one same kind of punishment. But at the end of the day, the death penalty also is a misa kitzirta, but it still has a time period in place. But there's a point at which we say, before this moment, you were alive. This moment and onward, you're dead. So that's all I think. I think Tosis, that's all it means. So coming back to the question, why is it that the Tanai, having eight Tanai, multiple tracks within the get, so there's when the woman is given the get, she knows there's a possibility she'll be able to drink wine at some point. She knows that. It's not definite, but it's not definite when you just give it Harezi Tika Hamash Tishidayim Kol Yimei Chayetoni. It's not definite either. So why is it different than Tosfos Hefer? Tosfos assumes that the Tanaim are separable, right? We can look at the distributive law of Tanaim and say, it's not, if such happens, if, you know, it's not if it falls in this circle of the Venn diagram, it's if it's A or if it's B. And we treat them as separate than ours. Granted, except Tosfos' premise in that. But even so, what's the issue? You know?
So
at the very end of
the
Tosfos,
it says
we eat means like the
duration of
Lohan Gita. So that's what's happening. I'm sorry, Lohan Gita, yes.
It's not that
Lohan
Gita, but it's
the get. The crisis of the get would not happen. And there, but it's good because.
During her life.
Correct. That's what I mean. That it didn't happen during her life. The crisis wasn't caused during her life, but that's okay. Because there was a possibility that the Tanai could be. So it happens or doesn't happen. What's that? Yes, I believe so. Otherwise, Nisim would have to be correct, which I don't in principle object to being correct. He's a smart fellow, but I can't believe Tosfos really means that here. Right? Just because the Almanas, it would be such a whopper of a finish. And I suspect, by the way, if you continue in the Gemara, you have to read the continuation. I'm the cause of this Gemara. It's one of the Gemaras that, because the Gemara is such a poor Gemara, as the Rishonim would say, the Gemara, the next page of the Gemara, as I mentioned yesterday, is going to deal with the retroactivity problem and him in the middle of the Avodah. Right? One guy in the middle of the Avodah, so then you have one wife at the beginning,
That's in the Nachos.
What's that?
That's in the Nachos. Retroactively, Mavutah.
What are we talking about? In the next series of the Gemara?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I just remember how they have to try to get something. Yeah, so we can undo it with Mafreya. But the bottom line, I think, even there, right? But that's my point. Isn't it clear there? The assumption is the get is chal mishas nesinus I get, but conditionally.
No, they're asking it that it's.
If it's not a get that way, then it turns out he was married for the first half of the avodah. It's a woman,
right?
So but I think the assumption is starting out is that it's a get l'mafreya, right? No? All right. Anyway, bottom line, I think to me that Tosfos has to that given the use of language of almanas. That's what Amanas means. Omer Amanas, Omer Me'af Shabbat. That's my opinion. Okay. Anyway. So now asking, putting aside, accepting that, what is Tosfos thinking here?
He has to think that there's some sort of sheer baguette if you're having it tonight that suddenly being pieces when she dies. There's still a retroactivity, even if like it didn't happen at all. So I don't know why that
came. I want to throw something at you. I'm very smart. I think you're in the right track. I'm going to, yes, Aaron. I want to raise the question of, this is so unlikely, but is this din of krasis a din in the get, or is it a din in, I'll use the term in the Jewish?
Has to be a din in the Gerushin, or else it wouldn't matter what the Tanai said in the first place. Right?
No, but I would have assumed that it's not in the Gerushin. It's initially in the Gerushin. And that's the Kasha process, which is, bottom line is that there's a possibility that she will, that this separation, this process of separation, will allow her to completely separate, even though it's not guaranteed. That's called Tosfos. Whereas if the get, Tosfos would be seeing that these are two Tanaim that are part of the get. Even though theoretically you're not supposed to write them into the get. These are two Tanaim that become part of the get. And if one of these Tanaim is invalid, invalidates the entire get. So I don't know if there are better words for this. I like that it's a sheer get. I like that choice of language. As opposed to a pragmatic result that she is not free. The pragmatic result, it doesn't matter if she adds in the clause Alamanasha Tamusi. As long as Tamus Chaverikin Kifnan, the possibility exists. If you're looking at what I'll call the Gerushin, does the Gerushin have a possibility of actually being completely, cutting her off? Whereas Tosis is saying, no, it doesn't really matter. In other words, even when you were both denied, the possibility still exists, just as it did before. I would even say the possibility is no less than it was before. Right? In other words, you know, here you play a probability state. What is the probability that Haver dies? But give me a probability of it. You're a mathematician. Okay? Do you know phantom tollbooth? Phantom tollbooth? You're a McLean 3 phantom tollbooth. You. If you want to be a mathematician. So anyway, you tell me, just give me a probability. What's the probability of Haver dies?
Say
20%. 20%, fine. Haver dies. This question even jumps off the page at you more, like, who cares? It's like a mabakach. Right? Let me ask you another question. What if you said, let's work for the Ramban for a moment, that almanas doesn't work. Almanas is the nasa deployment. So what happens if you have a... Well, I don't know how that's going to work. Okay, that won't work initially. Let's cross the fact as another. So bottom line, the fact that you added another tonight, okay, so it doesn't help her. Why does it hurt her? And the answer is, Ephraim, it doesn't hurt her. That's the point. If we're questioning, the whole issue is, does this tonight allow her to achieve krisis in any way? It doesn't change anything. But if it's a din and a get, that when this tonight becomes attached to the get, it invalidates the get. It doesn't matter that there are other avenues that she might become free. This is it, and you have to, again, you have to separate out as part of the tonight. And this is an invalid tonight. And this is an invalidating tonight. And if you have an invalidating tonight in the get, I'll go back to the preview. This is an interesting question. What if you said, Harezi Kitev, Almanas shekitni mi masayim zos. Oh, almanas shalati rasi b'chloni. Assuming like the Ramban. That's where I was driving it. I give you one of two paths, which to be free. Give me 200 zos or never marry this guy. Assuming that's called, right? So what would have been there? So I think Tosis would say that's a shiva get. There's an invalid tonight in the get. She has a path out. But we would say nonetheless. So why? The answer is because you've attached it. Tonight becomes an effect, you know, part of the get. In fact, there's even a mixas raya that a tonight can become part of the get, even though it's not written in the get. What's that? Kodem HaTorah. Right, when you know, Rabbi told him, shut the guy, shut the husband's up, shukei shakhtemu, until you finish the Torah. So we haven't done that Gemara yet. We did it, but we have a lot to do in that Gemara. There's a lot to do there. There's a ton to do there. But just on the superficial level, I understand the get has to be written in Lishma, Lashem Gemishim. Why does the fact that the husband is saying this is al tanai invalidate it? It's not written in the get. Well, the answer is that the tonight can nonetheless be there. It becomes so woven into the fabric of the get because it was said before the Torah was written, and you can't get rid of it later. Normally, any other tonight, if you give it, maybe this is why you get Amanasha Tamusiyada Tamuspon. So what can you do? Take the get back and give it again and say Amanasha Tamusponus. That you could do. Right? But you see that the tonight, I mean, it is a sort of a novel concept that the tonight, not even written into the get, but the tonight becomes part of the get because it was a lishma element. So I think that may be what Tosis is thinking. That the tonight is really, that even verbal tonight, even those that are, again, depending on when it's done, if it's done after the get is written, you can undo it, but you have to do another nesina saget. But the verbal tonight that's given, the shas nesina saget, that's uttered the shas nesina saget, becomes part of, at least temporarily, part of the get itself. It's not just that I'll call part of the gamership of what is the actual pragmatic results. That's what I think Tosis is thinking. This will be, if you think back to when I was struggling, it's the same, I think I've used this formulation before. What's the difference between the crisis of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and the crisis of the other Tanaim? Right. The crisis, the Rav Elazar ben Azariah, to use Shimi's choice of the Gemara's language, is a sheer baguette. It's not it may have gone deeper, but it's kind of like, it's not a problem that emerges from when you give baguette all this time. It's definitional in the Ged itself. And through this, I'm not sure that's the same thing. So that's not the Chet of, I mean, it might be the Chet of the Ged, it's not really the Chet of the Ged. But let's sort of keep this issue in mind, because it may underlie, it might, I'm not sure. We have to think about Machlokas the Rambam and the other Rishonim, whether there's something similar going on. I'm still not sure. I'm working on it. I'm thinking about it. But if that's how I think, that's the only way I can understand Tosfos. Why would it be that adding in a Tanai is already valid? She has an option of getting out if Chavera dies. Why is adding in the Tanai make it any worse? And the answer is Tosfos. This thing is clear. Tosfos sees these two Tanai, not as one Tanai with two possibilities, but two separate Tanai. And if one of them, any one Tanai, is an invalidator of the Get, the entire Get's invalid. In fact, even in the same trap of Krisus. Right, there's the fact that it's the chiddush here. It's not even just Amarash, either Amarash Titni Masayim Zuz, Amarash Tosi the Plogi, where one is inherently in what you know, it's two separate unrelated issues. But here, even when it's about Krisus, where you need to have Krisus in the Get, and the Amarash Tamusi out, it's not Krisus, but Amarash Tamusi Chaverta is Krisus. Now that you combine them, why isn't there Krisus? Because apparently, any Tanai in a Get that does not, that by its stipulation, creates a lack of crisis, even though this crisis overall in the process does not solve your problem. It is a problem.
So it's not about the practical other things, about the fact that there's technicality, there's
technical. It's the Itzuma Shodet. Either the Get or the Nesina, depending when you wrote it, or you know, or you uttered it while you were writing it, or if you just attached it afterwards, and then the Nesina again. Okay. If anybody has something better to suggest, I'm happy to listen. If anybody has something else to suggest, but one is tempted to think that Tosis' question is better than his answer. That's what Tosis and Gittin thought. That's why that's what it's out here. Okay. Fine. So now, let us move on. And we don't have to read, I gave you the Gemara Gittin, we read that already. So let's talk about the Rambam. Just a historical note. Which is that the I gave you the Magid Mishnah and the Ran to read. What was the relationship between the Magid Mishnah and the Ran? I always said, I thought Rav Shach always said they learned Bachabusa. That may be a slight guzma of a description, but they were contemporaries. They apparently had developed something of a friendship when the Magid Mishnah. What was his name? Vital. Was it Vital? I don't remember. Who came to Barcelona, and I think that's what he met the Ran, the Nissim of Girona, and they seem to become colleagues, friends, and so on. So the fact that they're writing, you will find probably not infrequently that they are writing similar things. So let's take a look first at the Rambam. The Rambam picked up. Let's read the Rambam.
Hamadash and Isto, Batala Allah, Bain the Tal of Akhara Torah, Bain Al Pahar Torah, Romar Lahare, Akhutaris of the Koladan, Puts the Ishpoi, O Ella the Ishpoi, Batala Hadrat Al Tanare, there
Al Tanare. So notice here, by the way, he's avoiding anything before the Torah. The Rambam is going to pass him, if we do like Rava. So if anything done before the Torah is a problem. So now here he's talking about things that are either written into the Get or Valpan in the Get,
so
after the Torah.
He's going a little bit past Rabba, right? I think Rabba was only that if it's written into the Get, and that was saying that even if it's...
No, Rabba said it in the first Gemara. He said, shut the husband up until you finish writing the Torah. If the husband were to say, I want to do this all tonight before the writing of the Torah, Rabba would say it's invalid. That's the opening line of the Gemara. So either way, the key point here is as follows. If it were a legitimate Tanai, meaning it were Krisus, it fit whatever the criteria were, and there were no Shear Beget, so then it would be good if you wrote it or you did it about Ha'achar Torah. Because remember the rule, we're going to passel like the Chachamim against Rebbe. Rebbe says any Tanai written in the Get passels it, the way Rava understands that Raisa. And the Chachamim say, Kosha posel alpeh, posel bechtav, v'chosha eno posel alpeh, eno posel bechtav. So the Rambam here is saying, you do it after the Torah. So a good tonight would work for you. A bad tonight will invalidate the Get either way. And he's now going to describe what a bad tonight is, an invalid tonight, which is chutz o elah. So, The Rambam says Kabbalah. Im haya.
Im haya. So each day, I have the thought. So I have the shuna. The God of the Achaya. God, ye. Kabbalah. Achiv.
So that's the next Mishnah, right? If the person you exclude, even in the chutz clause, is someone that you cannot have kiddushin with, the kiddushin are posted because of arayis, because of goy, because of eved, so the get is kasher. It's not a shir beget. Shir beget means you remove the iser ashes ish that will turn, and once you remove that, she can now have tisnas kiddushin with others. Okay. Okay, so even though there's an iser, it's an invalid get.
Sharei
get, then it's a priest. Fine. It's funny, he puts it, he says it's shir beget, and that's not priestess. Who's shita, but that almost be? The lesson of Zarya. Yeah.
Can it be the opposite?
I mean,
either
this
is just like
the
one and
sure maybe there's the sort of. Maybe. Okay. I mean, it's not, it's a little bit Tom or F. It doesn't matter who we pass it like. They all said Rabbi Eliezer wrong. So Haya, go ahead. Haya.
Haya Baha Tasha Afa P Sir Hu Hayo Masala Mishima Eva.
Okay, so then it's a suffer.
So just one thing about Rabba.
Yeah.
He says that Roshana Ulla Akhara Torah, the Lord Israel, the Hilal Penam, also. So that means that Akhara Torah of this time. They're only saying of this.
Well, what are you reading? The Gemara?
Yeah.
Rabba would say, right, but Kodim, whoever Rav Papa had said that if you don't write it in the get, it has no impact whatsoever. Even if you, even if the husband is screaming chutz, chutz, chutz before the Torah. Rava says that no, that if you're only thinking it, in other words, for Rava, an invalid Tanai doesn't invalidate it if you think it afterwards. So you're saying the Rambam says,
he says, if you think it, it's an issue. Or you say it, it's
an issue. No, it's not. He just said, no. The point is, he makes it tonight the Pesach when he gives it to him. That's what he means by Achara Torah. If you're just, in other words, it doesn't invalidate the writing of the get. The Rambam would say the following. The Rambam says, if you wrote it in the get afterwards, the get is possible forever. If you didn't write it in the get afterwards, well, you have to do it on the Nesina. The Nesina is over. And as an invalid tonight, for Rava, before the writing of the get, even though you didn't write it, invalidates the get permanently. An invalid tanai after the writing of the get, if you wrote it in the past, it's a get forever. If you didn't write it in there, it invalidates the scene as a get, so it doesn't validate the get itself. That's all. So let's not worry about the sound anyway. We can save this, we can butt heads over this if you would like, happily, when we get to that sentence. Okay? Good. The second halacha. So if he excludes her sister, if he excludes her sister's husband, so then the Rambam says the suffix, because the possibility exists. That she will ultimately be in a position to remarry her former brother-in-law. Because Achos Ishto and Eishes Ish are the only two Arayas that have Hefer possible. Okay, so it's a suffix whether then is there. Because right now, Kiddushim not Tosim, but it is possible in the future, Kiddushim will be Tosim. Halacha Yubes. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay,
so one second. Okay, the last line is not important right now for our sukkah. So the Rambam says that if you say a reza gita hamash al tashi l'toni, which is a valid tonight, it's a valid sign, it's paskilin like the chachamim of Rabbi Eliezer, and assume that they argue with Rabbi Eliezer b'chutz, but they're mode by amanas. He says it's invalid if you don't put a time limit on it. But if you do put a time limit on it, even if you say 50 years, it's a get. And she cannot marry for that entire period of time. She can't marry him. She's that period, that entire period of time. Okay. Now, what's the problem with the Rambam at first read? What's the problem? How have we defined krisus in Torah? Krisus means that when you put a tanai attached to a get somehow, when will that tanai be invalid?
Should it? There has to be a possibility that it will be invalid sometime within her life?
Yes. There has to be something that she will be permitted sometime within her lifetime. Now, when you say amanas, you're mitaras b'chadam, amanas shaloti nasi b'kloni, is it possible that the get will be chal in her lifetime, meaning complete heter? How so?
If he does.
If he does. It's not any different than saying, hareze gitech amanas shalotishki liyayim, tishliyayim, koyim echayi ploni. The only difference is, this is amanas shalo tinasi laponi koyime chayi ploni, which of course is a little funny because here the Ran utters a very important halachic statement, which we of course would not have known if he hadn't uttered it, which is, I think it's the best line in the Ran. You know what I'm talking about, if I, where the Ran says, he says, when he's suing la'achar misa, you efshar. You can't get married after you die. It seems pretty good. You know, we could give all the lumbus in it. Why is that? You know, is it the person has no da'as, the person has no consent, the person is not Jewish anymore? I don't know if that's the case. What's that? I don't know. I'm not sure what it is, but that nisuin la'achar misa, you efshar. I think that would probably be Muskim, Miti Hakol, everyone here, everyone at the Beis Seder, everyone in our society. Our society has lots of interesting ideas, different opinions about marriage, but I think we all can agree that people cannot get married. So the bottom line is, she will be released. She will be Muteres L'Choladam on the condition that she not marry Ploni. Yes, that can happen during her lifetime, which is, Ploni can die, and at that point, that condition effectively is closed out. The possibility of marrying Ploni is closed out. She can marry anyone without fear. She's no longer bound to the husband. That's one of the question that the Ran asks. How is it different than Amanash Lotishi Yayin Kol Chayei Ploni? Right? It's possible she'll never be able to drink wine if Ploni predeceases her. But it's possible she will be able to drink wine if Ploni does not prove the system. Now, there is a very interesting sugya. Are you doing your day, Anita?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you got a little bit of a head start here. I'm going to spend a few minutes before we read the Ran just to explain to you a concept in your day and a particular fascinating application. There is a principle known as Davar Sheyishol Matirin. You haven't done it yet, right? Davar Sheyishol Matirin is not batel. Means, if I have an item that is heter, and I have an item that is iser, and the iser is a minority and it's batel b'shishin, and or if I have three items, I have three pieces of salami. Two are kasher, one is treif. Neither are particularly important pieces of salami, and they all get mixed together. So we say that chad betrays batel. That's what we call yavesh b'yavesh. If we put it in the blender, then I need shishin. It's called lach b'lach when it blends together. Liquid or solid flour is called lach b'lach. Okay. Now, there is an exception to this rule. The exception to the rule is Davar Shei Shlema Pirin. What would a Davar Shei Shlema Pirin be? Take the following. Supposing I have a chicken that lays an egg on Yom Kippur, and there is an Isser Derabbanan, doesn't matter if the rice Derabbanan, of eating an egg that was laid on Yom Kippur. Now supposing that Isser, that Usser egg on Yom Kippur gets mixed in with a bunch of other eggs. So now I have six cartons of eggs, or five cartons of eggs, but one of them had a baker's dozen of eggs in it. So I now have 61 eggs. One of them is a Beit Shnod Yom Tov, the other one were Beit Shnod Yom Tov, Yom Tov. So the halacha is I can't eat any of the eggs. Why not? Because the Davar Shei Shlema Tirin is not batal. Why not? So one interpretation, not relevant for us right now, is something that Rashi offers, although I guess it's fine, you can use it. Acha tochlanu v'isu tochlanu v'hefer. Why rely upon pickle? Just wait till after Yom Tov, then you can eat all the eggs. Not a problem. It's only a temporariness. So that's what how Rashi understands it, at least in one place in Beitza. However, the more classic understanding is offered by the Ran in a very famous passage of Shuvi Yerodea. You will know this Ran on Dachman Beis Amid Aleph. The Ran here's sort of a basic outline to the problem. It would seem from a number of Gemaras that the din on Yerushalmi, that the din of Davar Shei Shlema Tirin not batel, is limited to situations of min b'mina, when you're dealing with two things of the same species. They're the same food. I gave you my salamis as examples. If you're dealing with two things that are completely different substances that taste different, then once you have shishim, once you have enough to be mevatel the tam of the iser, we don't care if it's a davar shishim up here. So in theory, this egg got mixed into, you made, I don't want to say potato, but it's mostly eggs, but let's say this egg got mixed, well, I don't want to say
potato.
I'm avoiding that for a reason also. There's a sugi, whatever. That's a fun, Darshan says a very fun sugi, and Rav Ashi extended it greatly beyond its bounds, so he creates problems with that. But let's say the egg were part of some dish, but I don't want to say something you bake. Too much eggs. Let's say an egg. Yeah. I'm trying to come up with a case where an egg would be an ingredient, but it's not an essential definitional ingredient, and it's not visible either. You could base the challah with the egg, but then that's visible, it creates its own problem. So you have this egg, which falls into enomino, something else, so it's bottom. So there is a riff, a very bothersome riff, bothersome because it's a pain, because it gets in our way. I'm going to another second here today, very briefly. Let's say you cook meat and milk in the oven at the same time. So the way most of you show in the past, in the time, but the way we're going to hold probably with the evidence is that it's mutter. Provided that you're only talking about reyach, not zeh, I don't want to talk about the distinctions. But my Rebbe assumes that in our ovens that we don't cook them at the same time, l'chatchila, but the dievet, it would be good. Just as the dievet, you can use the same, just as l'chatchila, you can use the same oven back-to-back for meat and milk. That's what the Shulchan Aruch Pashtus Taskas, as the chapter said, thought most of the pious well was learned for a long time. Today we've found new chumras, or Moshe has a chumra. But bottom line is that if you have recha is lav milsa b'di'evet. If you cook the vela meat and kosher meat in the oven at the same time, not allowed to l'chatchila, but b'di'evet, you can eat the kosher meat, because recha is not considered milsa. Now, the Rif says the following. If you bake bread in the oven at the same time as meat, if you put meat ingredients or milk ingredients in the bread is treif. Not because the frost of chal, it's either basar or chalav. You're not allowed to have fleshic bread, you're not allowed to have milk bread. But you didn't, there's no fleshic ingredients in the bread, there's no butter in the bread. It's regular bread, but you bake it in the oven at the same time as meat. So the Rish says you're not allowed to eat that bread with milk. The question is, rechalav milsahi. So the Rish, I think he offers two explanations, but one of the things he says is it's davar shei shlema tirin, it's not bad. So the Ran has a very hard time with the Rif, and I'm giving you more than you need to have just because it's such a great Ran, and you should know it. The Ran starts with the question, if Nimbabino, if Davashi Shematiran, by mimishin amino is batal by two different species. So why is it here that the Rif says that it's not batal? Because after all, firstly, it's the meat in bread, so it should be batal. Why did he say that mimishin amino is not batal? So the Ran says the following. There is a machlokas hatanayim, as the Gemara constructs it, whether there ever is min mimino is batal or not. In other words, regular case, I have one case of kosher salami that's mixed into two pieces, one tray salami, two pieces of kosher salami. I have ground beef where there's one kezias of tray ground beef, and it's mixed into 60 kezias of kosher ground beef. Rabbi Yehuda says min mimino is never batal. The Chacham disagree, they say min mimino is batal. We pass it like the Chacham. But the Rif, the Ran says, what's the explanation of the Machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? So the Ran says the following. The whole premise of Bittel, the way I'll formulate it, is you have two substances that blend together, and you have to define the substance. And when the substances are different, so there's a war. And somebody wins the war. And if there's enough heter in the mixture, so the heter overwhelms the Yisr and is Mepatel. But if there's no conflict between the two, then we don't say that it's batal because we don't have to redefine the substance. So Rabbi Yehuda says that the way we define a difference is a physical difference. There has to be a physical difference. Not only is there a heter difference, but a physical difference. If the two items are both ground beef, we're not going to say that this is treif ground beef versus heter ground beef. We're just going to say it's ground beef. So is the treif ground beef batal? No, because it's all ground beef. Whereas if it's pork, ground pork, and ground beef, so then there's a conflict. How do you define the substance? Beef or pork? And beef wins. If it's just shishim, it's a vat of the town, beef wins. So the Ran says, and the Chachamim, why did the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yehuda? Because the Chachamim believe that not only a physical difference can create a war, but a metaphysical difference can create a war as well. So if I have ground beef with Isser, and ground beef with Heter, the Isser and the Heter go to war, and heter can be mevatel the Isser. What, says the Ran? Let's say I don't have heter and Isser. I have heter and Isser, which is going to become heter. So then, it's not black and white, it's kind of like black and gray. So the Ran says that even there, the Chachamim are modesh, because it's not Isser, the heter, but rather quasi-Isser, almost heter and heter, if it's in the mimino and there's no physical difference, and it's not Isur v'heter, but rather almost heter and heter, so then there's no conflict anymore and there's no bit. That's what the Ran says. That's his if you learn your Adaya, and you learn Dr. Darshan here, it's a famous Ran. So now the Ran takes this and goes, okay, it says, wait, we got a problem. The Rif is talking about Mimishen Aminu. So here's where the Ran makes a big leap, and he says, this is all to set up the final question, which the Ran doesn't like, but others did raise. He says, it's one thing when you have heter and not heter, we'll call it, quasi-heter, and you have min and enomino. So between the two together, you can be mitzayis the two differences, in effect, and say that these two differences, this min of, this min, I'll call it min and she'enomino, the min of heter, and the she'eno mino of semi-heter, so between the min and she'eno mino gap.
Are we talking about the bread and meat in the oven right now?
Yeah. I'm not there yet. No, I'm still talking about the regular case of Darshan Shemetz, you remember she'eno mino. So if I have min and eno mino, and I have heter and semi-heter, the differences between the two in each thing are enough to create a conflict, to create a war, and this bit. But let's say I'm not dealing with Isser, Heter, and Semi-Heter, almost Heter. I'm dealing with Heter and Heter Mamish now. And the only difference is the physical difference. Why is it Heter now? Because I can eat the bread now, just eat it with me, or eat it by itself. It's not like I'm waiting to be able to eat the bread. So then, there's not the fact that they're physically different, there is essentially no metaphysical difference. There's no war, there's no difference.
But there is a physical difference.
That's okay, that in itself is not enough for the rod. It's a physical difference. It's physical difference alone is not enough. You need physical difference and some amount of metaphysical difference.
So you think there's no bits all between, like,
There's no bigger.
Things, you never have been.
I think that's a generally accepted principle. Head to head, there's not black hole. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's from this run or if it's just a known principle generally. This is the Merriman Melchior stuff.
I mean, I don't know if
it's
in Pitzel,
but it's not. That's I think that's very different.
Okay.
Fine. I'm sorry? I don't want to go into that question whether Chametz is a devastation material, although it has relevance to our topic, by the way, also. Hold on. But though I don't want to, let's not go there. Just let me get, because only in a few minutes I want to get to the relevance to I think like the Rambam, where the Rambam is. And the Rambam says this, and the Magen Mishnah, they both say the same thing, but I want to sort of give you a video before we read it. So that's how the Rambam explained it this way. That because there is no that they're both mukta right now, then you can't be baka. Okay. But the Rishonim asked the following question on the roof. And let me give you one parallel in Darash Yesh Matir. This can happen. It happens sometimes, Rahman Litzlan Chas Shalom, somebody traipses up a knife from the flatware. I don't mean a cutting knife, but a flatware in one of those knives or forks. Someone traipses up a fork in the kitchen. So what do? You put it aside and you kasher the fork. First thing, you don't do it the first 24 hours. You put it aside and you kasher it after 24 hours. Ah, but what happens? You left the kitchen, and the person who was cleaning up in the kitchen, whoever that was, said, oh, what's this fork doing here? It belongs to the drawer. So they go put it in the drawer. So now, the question is, do you have to do anything? Do you have to kasher all the forks? Now, if you normally apply the rules of Vittel, you would say, well, one fork, let's say there were three forks in your drawer, and you know that one was traced up into a knot. One fork and two forks is kind of a tray should be brought up. But someone could say it's a depreciation of matirin because you can kasher all the forks and you don't have to rely upon people.
That's
the
depreciation of matirin, you can kasher something?
The iser can become heaven. Right? Why rely upon people? You can kasher. So the Rashba in the Torah Sabayis, a sefer that eventually became the foundation of the Yoredea, the order, the Rashba in the Torah Sabayis says, no, you only say Devarishim Shem Matirim by something that happens Mamela, or maybe like there's almost nothing, you have to do almost nothing. But if you have to engage in Chutzos, and it was more expensive then, you have to get wood, you have to get water, today it costs very little for Kasha, then it's not called the Devarishim Shem Matirim. So there's a lot of discussion around this concept of the Rashba, but the Taz has a little line there, I forget who he quotes, who points out, lots of people say it's Mutter for different reasons, why Devarishim Shem Matirim doesn't apply. But what I think is the sharpest reason why it doesn't apply is it's not a devastation of material. The blios of Isser in the fork, if you kasher them, do the blios become mutter?
No, they stop existing.
Well, or they're disposed of.
Right.
So if you take a look, Beit HaShanot of Yom Tov is the classic example of heter, the Isser turns into heter, right? Beit now you see it, now you don't. The Isser is there, Yom Tov. Says Hakochavim comes, it's mutter. But here, the fork is always mutter fundamentally. It's the blios in it that are iser, and those iser remain it. So it's never, there's never a head there. It's not a double shishon of mutter. So the very same question that Ron quotes that others who ask against the rift. There's no head there here. That which you can do right now, which is eat the bread alone or with meat, you will always be able to do. To eat the bread with milk, you will never be able to do. So that's not called the devastation of Matthias. So they're on the he's going for
the bread.
Normally we say, wait to do this, because why should you rely upon this, rely upon Bittul, Acha Tochlen of Isha, Tochlen of Ehed. That means that there's something, what's that?
That's Rashi, right?
That's borrowing his language, yes. So that which you, but even to be called a devastation of Matthias, it means the thing that was Usher, and it now becomes Mutter. So you should always be able to point to something and say, well, until now, the thing was awesome. And we were relying upon Bittul of some kind. Now the thing is mutter. So by the Kli, the Blios were Asa, and they're still Asa. They're just not here anymore. And by the bread, what is it? The bread, what can I do with the bread right now? I can eat it with meat. Or I can eat it by itself. I can't eat it with milk. That will always be the case. Based upon your outcome, I'll never have the opportunity with milk. It's not a devastation. It's not if I wait till tomorrow, now I can do it. Or it's not if I pull out my magical womb and I can summon, but that's so complicated. Let's not go down that road. Okay. Yes, you're fine.
The
I don't want to go that, but makes that makes things more complicated. The eights that we usually give is just wait till I'm, for various reasons in different shittas, we say wait till the things after 24 hours when it's considered to come. Now you can use everything and you're off the kashya. That's what the Shach quotes. But let's ignore that. Just ignore the Nosan Kalafkan part. Okay, just that's a practical issue. Theoretically speaking, the Rashba would say you can use the forks immediately, even when they're Nosan Kalashvach. Okay. Now, so basically, in order to be a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, the Isser has to turn into Heter. It's not just that the circumstance allows you to do something, namely, I've gotten the Bleos out. Or I can't eat the meat right now, but it has to be that which was usher to do or usher to eat now becomes mutter to eat, but just wait. Give it some time. So that, or do something, but you will achieve that result. But here there's nothing that can be done. So that was the little Eurydantes. So you walk in next to him when he gets that chair, you're a little bit of a ringer when you're preparing that. Simon Kuf Beis in Eurydantes. So now we come back to our Rambam. Why does the Rambam? So the question again is, for the Rambam, when he gives her the get, he says, Almanash lo tinasi leploni, which is fundamentally a valid tonight. The Rambam says, if you don't put a year, an expiration date in it, so then it's there's no krisis. Now, the question, but if you say, you give a time, even ad chamish mishamet, so then, yesh no krisis. The question is, why does the Rambam think that there's any difference? It just happens to be Amanash Shalot Tishiyai, the Chayyat Ploni, this is you and this is him. Here it's Amanash Shalot Tinasi, the Ploni, the Chayyat Ploni. Just Ein Nisuin La'afarmisa. When Nisuin La'afarmisa, Yash. Yeah, got to quote it right. So what's the Rambam thinking? So let's take a look. Let's just look at, it doesn't really matter which one did I say first. Let's read the Magen Mishnah. Okay. So what does the Magen Mishnah say? I'll read quickly. Hareza gite chamanas, the raisa sham hareza gite chamanas lo tishniya amanas lo techo de tzavich, the hikshlo mefarshlo amanas lo techo de tzavich, la'olam amai ein zeh krisis. Now, he's going about, he's going to explain what he and the Ram both think. Where did the Ram get this idea from? He got this idea that this was somehow different. So the question that the Rashba asks, and that's probably the first one to think of it, when we say amanas lo techo de tzavich, la'olam, Amai ein zeh krisis. Kaima lansha no devar omer beis chashani nechnas. Beis chashani nechnas means I'm taking an edder, I will not enter your house. However you do that. So meis balavai, so shemachar lacha, reis anodem, mutam yukam yiskim, oshin yisvar, perisan, hilchus nedarim, vava hamaschals, omel chavir, beis chashani nechnas. So let's say I say I will never enter your house, Jim. And then the tellers move. So I'm allowed to enter the house. So in this case, why do we say Leolam is not krisis? It has krisis. If a father dies, if a father moves. So for Rabbeinu, shekol shemaskil la'olam, v'yevshe shekeim uteres l'mashah haisa asirabo, afal pishe yevos man shehadavar mishtaneh, umitoch kach over hatanai shi eshel labra lab ein zekrisus ulafikach deshe hista lab shlo teil chal besavir la'olam afal pishach shemas abi eshel labra hatanai shereinu besavir v'komu kom lo chutru b'ashlista leha zehu da'atazah. So what is the Magen Mishnah's explanation for the Rambam then? Shemin.
Even though the tanai is eventually going to be batal, it's not going to be that she's going to be able to do the thing that was once ushered her. She's still never going to be able to be with the person who she was ushered for marrying because, you know, before there was a tanai, now he's dead.
Okay. So the Rambam would say that when you, in order to be krisis, when you give the get and then you create a restriction, it has to be possible that at some point that restriction will be undone. And what it means for the restriction to be undone is the wife gets to enjoy that particular thing, which she otherwise would have been entitled to if you just gave her the gift straight up. Whether it's drinking wine, whether it's Amanash marrying this guy. So drinking wine, the Chayifloni, so if somebody drops dead, she can then drink wine. But marrying Floni, If there's no time limit on it, it expires only when Pliny dies, which means it will never be Mutter Tahar. Now, will there be a time where she can't violate the Tanaim? Sure, when he's dead. So the get will be, as a matter of fact, permanent when so-and-so dies. But he restricted her from doing something, and she will never get a lift of that restriction. This restriction has been lifted because it has become impossible, not because it has become mutter. That's if you would like to say that, yes, the tonight remains in existence, it's just e-efshir to violate. So I chose the parallel of Bevashish Lamathirin, is that what the Rambam is saying here is that which the husband effectively prohibited to his now ex-wife has to eventually have hefer. If it's wine, the chayim poni, it has to have a possibility of hefer. So the wine, the chayim poni, has the possibility of hefer. Marrying poni has the possibility of never being able to at some point to violate it anymore, but it never has the possibility of that. And they're suggesting, I find to be difficult, but it may just be because I don't understand enough and they knew more what the Rambam would have been thinking, but they claim that it's based upon Almanas Shol Techa Reveis Avich La'olam. And the question that one might ask is, well, it could happen after the father dies. There will be no, she will never be able to violate that anymore. And that's why, so the question is, why is that not krisus? Why is that not chayav poni? Chayavia. The answer is, because if she will never be able to go to her father's house, then when he's alive, because they were under the get, and when he's dead, because it's not his house anymore, then that's not krisus. Even though there will become a time in our life where the get is permanent, where it will no longer be undoable because the Tanai is permanent, the possibility of violating the Tanai has been permanently abolished, it doesn't matter. Because then she never has the opportunity to do what he restricted her from doing. So the question I would ask, and now, so then they go on, they quote all sorts of other answers. They quote all sorts of other things. Why is it that the other Rishonim disagree? They answer the Gemara in all sorts of other ways. Do I think that the Rambam's reading that Gemara, if that really was reading, not that he said that, is that mocha? Nah. I have a suspicion, by the way, that the Rambam may believe that any tanai that is suggested and formulated with la'olam or without a time limit placed on it, which could be la'olam, the Rambam believes that that is simply invalid tanai in the context of getting. It doesn't matter if there's a possibility that the tanai will be unfulfillable, if the tanai will be unfulfillable, it doesn't matter. It has to be that it can't be formulated in the olam fashion. It may be it did in the tanai more than it did in the result. And I have a smach for that in the Rambam himself, because the Rambam chooses a very interesting clause. He says, he picks a very long period of time, which Chamishim Shana, certainly back in the day, talking to his wife, who presumably was a gadol already, was probably beyond statistical probability when most people were going to live. I mean, people did live to old ages in olden days. I think life expectancy is longer than we realize to produce child mortality. If you take out the child mortality below the age of probably five, probably their life expectancy is a lot closer to our current life expectancy than if you left that in there. If they say the average person lived 30 years back then, or 35 years, something like that, if you take that, for those who made it to the age of 5, that number probably was much, much higher. It was not 80, it might have been 50 or 55 or something like that. But the Rambam chose a very large number. Now, if you chose a number beyond the lifespan, then I think that you could choose a number that would be highly unlikely, as long as it's possible, highly unlikely. But the fact that the Rambam chose this number makes it suggest to me that the problem is not so much in the result, the problem is in the formulation. A formulation of Shlotim Yasi Laploni, period, means forever. Not priestess by definition. Once you say a Chamishim Shana, as long as it's not impossible, even though it's highly improbable, then it's fine. Right? There's going to be a discussion of that's in the other way. It's Almanasha Kivali. Whether it's an Esher or a Kaim, it's a different surgeon.
The Rambam is saying that practically
you can't actually get this. Even though the Tanai will become irrelevant, and therefore we know the get is definitely a get forever, nonetheless it's no good. Because that which he restricted her, there has to be some type of a heter for. When the get will be definitely good. When there will be no restrictions on her, not because she's allowed to marry Ploni, but because no one can marry Ploni. When the said fellow dies, the fact that she can't marry him has nothing to do with the husband's tonight.
So the Rambam is saying, take the tonight is still in effect. And the Rambam is saying, but practically the tonight is not.
And can never come into effect. Right? No. Yes, then. No. Sorry.
Two questions. One very basic. So the Rambam is reading the Gemara like the Rambam, right? In terms of just talking about that.
No. Because the Rambam says Almanash plus the Ploni Achamishim Shana is good. Rambam would say it's no good. Because any time it's not prohibited except for marrying such and such, Almanash doesn't work. The Rambam makes no difference whether you put years on it. Almanash plus Tishtiyayin is one thing. That's a tonight which permits priests to get is good. There's a time limit. But Almanash plus the Ploni, doesn't matter what else you put in there, that's a sheer baguette for the Rambam.
Got it. So the Rambam thinks that
yeah, he passes like the riff, like most Rishonim.
That includes
no good.
And then all the non-Shulim bites in Europe.
Because he says it still has to be. In other words, there are two issues. There can't be a sheer baguette. So a chutz is no good, but Almanas is not a sheer baguette, but it has to be creases too.
Got it. Which means that's a good time.
That's a good time.
Possible time.
Yeah, or, yeah, a possible time.
Yeah, a possible time. Right? Yeah. Okay. My second question, I forget.
Okay. Are there any other questions? Okay, so I know that I'm leaving you hanging on that, but I don't want to go from there. We have to just think about what is the underlying debate here between the Rambam and the other Rishonim about this issue. Is this an important one?
So
we're going to hold on to that. We work out one difficult one today, I think, at least to my semi-satisfaction, on Tosfos and Yoma, and on Tzom Gedalia, right, today's Thursday. Tzom Gedalia will be the next regular Gemara Shir, or next year also. They're sharing Tzom Gedalia. So then we will resume having to be able to explain this machlokas. And I do then want to talk about also a machlokas you mentioned briefly. Ephraim reminded me this morning, the machlokas, the Bahag, and other Rishonim. I've been thinking about that as well, without looking up for Kiveg or whoever it was that you cited. So if you think about that issue, because my gut tells me that these issues may be to some extent all related. I don't think all the sheikhs line up exactly, but I think they're all grappling with similar issues in terms of both krisis and the power of tonight. So to be discussed further.